Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're listening to the best of the Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Say it ain't so. Say it ain't so. What, are they going to ban drinking on airplanes next? No, they wouldn't do that, right? Right? Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. I saw this story today on Reason.com, and my head almost exploded. What if Congress bans drinking on airplanes? Turns out new research and paternalistic legislators could threaten our last in-flight comfort, booze. Now, before we get into the details of the study, let me just say a couple things off the top of my head. Number one is I have three children, and alcohol on a plane with kids is not for you. It's for your fellow passengers to deal with your children on an airplane. I don't typically drink when I fly, and the reason why is because I get tired and I have to be awake to deal with the kids. But if I'm flying business and not first class like, you know, Matt the Sanctimonious, but I mean, if I'm flying commercial, which is what I always do, for example, next month I'll be flying out to the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. I'll probably have a glass of wine. I'll be by myself. DeSantis will be in first class. Obviously, I'll be in you know, steerage in the back. So I might have a glass of red wine or so. Nothing wrong with it. But there's research, a study published in Thorax, which I have no idea what Thorax is. Researchers from the Institute of Aerospace Medicine in Germany. Well, first of all, Germans don't know how to have fun. No offense, but I mean, the shortest book ever written is The History of German Comedy. And concludes that in-flight alcohol can increase the risk of a heart attack. While the top-line conclusion sounds concerning and compelling, the research itself is less so. Thank God. The researchers used a sampling of 48 people. 48 people between 18 and 40 years of age, half of whom slept in a sleep lab that mirrored normal on-ground conditions, while the other half slept in a lab that simulated high-altitude cabin pressure. On the first night of the test, everyone was instructed to go to bed. On the second night, each group was given the assignment of drinking booze and then passing out. How one qualifies to become a test subject is unclear, because I'm sure that there's plenty of us who would raise our hand and go, me, I get to sleep out of the house for the night and I get free booze. So sign me up. But they monitored heart rate and sleep patterns. The results show that those who consumed alcohol and slept in the high altitude simulation experienced the most heightened heart rates and the lowest oxygen blood levels while sleeping. The researchers conclude that those with existing cardiac and pulmonary conditions could be in danger, as well as those with sleep apnea and other respiratory ailments. But even healthy individuals were at risk. You know how doors keep blowing off airplanes? Yeah, I'll take my chances with a glass of wine or a shot of Buffalo Trace. Seriously, I mean, the name Boeing alone right now could cause my heart to explode. Quote, even in young and healthy individuals, a combination of alcohol intake with sleeping under hyperbaric conditions poses a considerable strain on the cardiac system and might lead to exacerbation of symptoms in patients with cardiac or pulmonary diseases. Our findings strongly suggest that the in-flight consumption of alcoholic beverages should be restricted. Ah, Prohibition Patty. I know it was you. I know it was you. You think that little farce can fool a Corleone, huh? One might be tempted to brush this off as merely the work of a few teetotalers from across the pond, but as students on the temperance movement know well, prohibitionary fires can start with the smallest of sparks. In fact, the in-flight booze ban movement has already begun to catch on in America. Well, you know, we've had a bunch of unruly passengers. Is that because they're drunk, or is that because they're a-holes? Or they're drunk a-holes. I don't know. But all I know is that, I mean, I'm not, I hate this idea that we have to look at the behavior of some people and then take away the freedom and liberty of others because some people are bad actors. And that's usually how the government responds to things, like we're children. Well, one of you is bad, therefore you all lose your privileges. Representative Peter DeFazio, shocking Democrat from Oregon, called for a ban on to-go alcohol from airports in 2021 after he allegedly watched a fellow passenger order three shots of alcohol in a to-go cup from the airport bar and then board the plane. Senator Ed Markey of Massachusetts, D. Blowhard, citing reports that anti-mask passengers were the ones creating the onboard ruckuses, went on record in support of banning the hard stuff at least temporarily. That's right. Well, you know, because some people wanted to have a straw hole through their mask on the plane. Remember, you were allowed back then in the crazy days of COVID to take your mask off to eat. But you had a 12-minute time limit or something, I think, because COVID agreed not to spread in that time period. But come minute 13, 14, 15, all bets were off. So, you know. And forget the fact that the airplane recircles the air every 2 minutes. Leave all that out of it. The study claiming to show heart and other health risks will likely further embolden the no alcohol on planes crowd. Lost in all this reality is that, as Representative DeFazio's anecdote shows, many of the unruly passengers that caught media headlines involved those who were already intoxicated upon boarding the plane, or brought their booze on board. Now, under Federal Aviation Administration regulations, it is already illegal for consumers to imbibe any alcohol they bring on a plane. This is the law. Quote, no person may drink any alcoholic beverage aboard an aircraft unless the certificate holder operating the aircraft have served that beverage to him. The rule goes on to state that airlines cannot permit already intoxicated passengers to board their planes or serve them more alcohol on board. Therefore, a complete ban on in-flight alcohol would simply be another example of the government implementing more rules to address behavior that it largely already has made illegal. But they've done that before. If you try to sneak booze on board an airplane, then you get into all kinds of trouble. It doesn't take a genius to understand that if you ban a legal product, you'll inevitably create more of a black market workaround. So during COVID, when they banned booze on planes because they didn't want people taking their masks off, passengers started bringing their own on board. Well, duh, the problem is getting it through TSA, because obviously you can't bring a liquid on of more than a few ounces. But a couple people would put it in the just multiple bottles of those. Was it 4 ounce? I think they would just load them up with vodka and just tell the TSA people they were shampoo or something like that. And why you can't drink your own booze on board a plane, I don't know. Obviously, other than a matter of making money, the government is doing that so that the airlines can make money. I mean, duh. Obviously, they're in the cahoots. It's still amazing to me you can't bring your own water through an airport. You got to buy it like a schmuck. You got to support big water. You can't bring your own. Then they have these water filling stations. Have you seen those? So this is what we do, because I refuse to spend $8 for a plastic thing of water. I refuse. And we live in the water bottle generation. Not every generation of kids has their own thing that they do. They're known for this generation of kids, like my kids' ages, 9, 7, 4. They'll be known as the water bottle generation, because God forbid those children go to school or a playground without bringing with them a large bottle of water. They could literally die of thirst. They could die of thirst. In fact, I joke with my wife all the time, because whenever we leave the house, she makes sure that the water jugs for the kids, each of their water bottles, is filled to the brim with water and ice. And I always say to her, do you think we're going to a place that doesn't have water or doesn't have the ability to, I don't know, purify water if we needed to have it purified? Like, where are we going? We're running to Wegmans. It's literally a grocery store. If worse comes to worse, we can buy it there. Or we'll load up the water bottles to go to the park, to go to the playground. Because if my kids run around for an hour and don't rehydrate every 10 minutes, they could pass out, I guess. See, we didn't do this when we were kids. I know this. And this is not one of those, in my day. See, in my day, we didn't even have water. You wanted to drink? You had to cut open your own veins and just drink your blood like Nancy Pelosi, the vampiric one. Or you'd have to, you know, and then drink your own, you know. No, I mean, it's this new thing now. It's got to stay hydrated. And I do love adults who do this too. Walk around with their big jugs. I'm not saying that you are this person, but I've seen them here where we work at Odyssey, where it's kind of a virtue signaling thing. So look at me. I drank 6 gallons of water today. And I always wonder, how productive are you really? Because you're going to the bathroom at least twice an hour, minimum of twice an hour. In the old days, it was smoking. So you got your 15-minute smoke break. And if you didn't smoke, you kind of felt cheated. What I used to do back in the day when I worked in the governor's office in New Jersey, when you could smoke on public property, I would just go out there and hang out with my friends who smoked. Just because I'm like, well, they're leaving the office for 15 minutes. I want in on that action. But nowadays, the new virtue signal is to walk around with a big jug of water to show everybody how hydrated you are. And I don't know why. I don't know why it makes you better than me to be hydrated. But nevertheless, I don't like... Well, my friend Frank Troy always says this. He says, I don't like water. Fish have relations in it. And I don't like drinking it. So he prefers the hard stuff. But what we do is we'll bring the water bottles to the airport, and then we'll go over to the water refilling station and then fill them all up there. But because that's the thing. If I'm going to spend $8 for a Dasani, I'd rather spend $8 on a beer. I would. To me, it just seems like I'm at least getting something of value. I don't know. They have this part of the story here they talk about in this study. They said a better approach would be to allow airlines to continue selling and serving in-flight alcohol. Like servers at a bar, flight attendants could monitor how much alcohol each passenger has consumed. As far as potential health concerns, passengers should be empowered to make their own decisions based on knowing themselves best. Most people already do this in situations such as avoiding air travel after scuba diving or major surgery, and there is no reason they can't do the same in determining whether to drink before or during a flight. Yeah, unless you're flying the plane. Unless you're the pilot, leave me alone and let me figure this out on my own. And if I get disruptive, then arrest me. Like, it's not that complicated. We don't even really need flight attendants to act as bouncers either. Oh, that would be fun. You got drunk, they literally bounced you off the plane mid-flight. I mean, that would curtail bad behavior in a heartbeat. But what would we do if people started behaving on flights? We'd lose all these beautiful viral videos. I mean, one moron acts like a jerk on an airplane, and that thing is guaranteed at least 32 million views. Minimum 32 million views. How could we deprive ourselves of that joy of seeing someone act like an absolute child and then 32 million people watching it over and over and over again on various social media platforms across the world? Minimum. I would just say this, if you're an adult and you're legally allowed to drink and you want to drink, then drink. If it turns out that you wind up acting like a jackass, well then I'm sure that the airport police, the Port Authority police, whoever would be more than happy to meet you at the gate and deal with you at that point. But you know, this is part of the we are all children mindset of society today. You know, that as adults, we all have to be controlled and regulated for our own good. No, really, it's not that far off. You'll find a link between the very same people that want to ban Skittles because they have red dye number 5 or whatever nonsense, or they want to ban this, or they want to ban that, with the same people that wind up wanting to ban booze in flight. Because, well, you can't think clearly if your mind is at 35,000 feet and you get lightheaded and blah, blah, blah. Hey, I'll deal with it, all right? I don't know if Jack Carr drinks or not, but I keep thinking about this really fit Navy SEAL. So some Karen's going to tell that guy he can't have a drink if he wants. But that's the mindset. That's the idea. You can't control yourself. We have to make rules for you and take away all the fun. Now there are even recipes. Some clever travelers have pointed out that the above-mentioned FAA regulation merely says that a person cannot drink alcohol on a plane unless it is served by airplane staff. This technically suggests that you can bring your own alcohol on board as long as it's in a mini bottle and simply ask your flight attendant to serve it. At least a few airlines appear to be open to this, and I don't know if we've booked our tickets yet to go to the RNC, but if we didn't, I want to fly on one of these airlines. JetBlue lets you bring your own bottles on board. Wow. Well, that makes me very, very happy right there, because then I can save some money. Now might be the time to find one such airline, book a flight, and enjoy this Prohibition-era 12-mile limit cocktail in defiance, but technically still legal, protest. So you get a half ounce of rye whiskey, half ounce of cognac, half ounce of rum, half ounce of grenadine, real grenadine, not red syrup. Half ounce of lemon juice, lemon wedges for garnish and ice. Obtain 2 mini bottles of liquor, each under 3.4 ounce TSA liquid carry-on limit. Fill 1 mini bottle with a half ounce of rye whiskey and a half ounce of cognac, topped off with your favorite rum. Fill the second mini bottle with a half ounce of grenadine and a half ounce of lemon juice. Store this bottle in the fridge until leaving for the airport. Bring both mini bottles on board with you in your carry-on. Ask your flight attendant to pour the contents of the liquor-filled bottle over a cup of ice. Add the grenadine and lemon juice mixture to the cup. Garnish with lemon wedges. Serve with the provided plastic stirring stick. Sit back, relax, and enjoy your cocktail in freedom. There you go. I think everybody wins. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Coming right back.
You're listening to the best of the Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Oh, Lindsay, you've just never met a war you didn't love, huh? You've just never met a war you didn't love. Lindsey Graham, unbelievable. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. Our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Want to remind you, Politics and Pints with Jack Carr, the man himself. It is selling quickly. So all the VIP ticket sales are long gone. And we are about 60% sold out, and the event is not till June 25th. So my guess is it'll probably fully sell out by the end of the week, given our track record of things. So don't be a procrastinator. Do it right now. Politics and Pints with New York Times best-selling author Jack Carr, Tuesday, June 25th at the Zlock Performing Arts Center at Bucks County Community College in Newtown, PA. Tickets are on sale now at 1210WPHT.com. 1210WPHT.com. Do it now. Do it today. You don't want to miss this. Red Sky Morning. It's going to be a great book. I mean, it is a great book, but it's going to be a great night with you hanging out with my man Jack Carr and me. So what are you waiting for? So Lindsey Graham, you know, all in on Ukraine, Zelensky, and just stealing people's money and stealing money in America, just seizing Russian money in America, just taking money, seize it, steal it. Why not? What the heck? What about the Constitution? Forget the Constitution. Stop. Stop it. Here's Lindsey on Face the Nation, how this guy still has a Republican card. Sometimes. You know what I love at the Trump rallies whenever he speaks and he gets booed? And Trump's always like, no. Come on, stop. He's a nice guy. Come on, stop. I really don't get it. I don't get it. I mean, it must be, is it just because the ladies dig him? Lindsey Graham, ladies man, chicks dig him? I'm not, no. Anyway, here's a clip. Take a listen.
I know you were at those D-Day remembrances earlier in the week, and you met with President Zelensky as well. He has asked for more training for his forces and for that to happen faster and inside of Ukraine. Do you support the U.S. doing that?
Yes, I do support us training inside the country. You know, the delay in weapons because of House inaction, we did lose momentum. But from the very beginning, the Biden administration, they did not impose pre-invasion sanctions to deter Putin. They didn't give weapons to Ukraine early on to deter Putin. And now we've got a chance to reset this war that they have the weapons. Here's what he wanted most of all, for us to go after the Russian assets all over the world, take the money from the sovereign wealth funds of Russia and give it to Ukraine. There's $300 billion sitting in Europe from Russian sovereign wealth assets that we should seize and give to Ukraine. We have Russian money in America we should seize. We should make Russia a state sponsor of terrorism under U.S. law. When I suggested that to President Zelensky, he lit up like a Christmas tree.
I bet he did. Light up like a Christmas tree, Lindsey. I'm sure he did. Oh, just steal money. $300 billion sitting in Europe from Russian sovereign wealth assets that we should seize and give to Ukraine. We have Russian money in America we should seize. We should make Russia a state sponsor of terrorism under U.S. law. When I suggested that to President Zelensky, he lit up like a Christmas tree. Oh, why not? I mean, wouldn't you? But why do they keep needing all this money? We've given them like $120 billion. Plus, there was a T-shirt sale the other day. A T-shirt sale. No, my daughter went to this gymnastics thing. It's one of those birthday party. And they had a We Stand With Ukraine poster, and they had T-shirts with 100% of the profits going to Ukraine. And I thought to myself, well, this should make all the difference. We've given them $120 billion. We've seized yachts. We've seized all these assets. But these gymnastics center T-shirts, now this is going to change the tide of the war. I'm just saying. All right, it's like $120 billion and here's $42 in T-shirt sales. There you go. Like that Eddie Murphy scene with Johnny Carson in his mind. Here's about $63. Here you go, Zelensky. Here we did a T-shirt sale. In fact, I think it's going to be so effective, the T-shirt sale for Ukraine. It may even raise more money than my lemonade stand did yesterday. The kids' lemonade stand did. So I want to thank you, the Mount Laurel Police Department. It was so nice. We were at Laurel Acres Park yesterday. We were doing the lemonade stand for Sunday's Kids. And it's to raise money for, there's four kids in our area who have cancer, including a little kindergartner. And so we had this lemonade stand. My daughter, Reagan, was, I mean, this girl, she's a seller. She is a closer. Reagan Zioli, always be closing, ABC. She was just running up to people with a glass of lemonade and handing it to them, and they would take it, and then she'd turn around and go, give me your money, please. She didn't even ask them. And then she just guilted them into it. So then people are, I have no cash on me. Well, luckily we have this Venmo code you can scan right here. But she was amazed. And then so the cops come. And at first we thought we were getting shut down. No. I talked to my buddy Aaron Hartley, the great guy from the FOP in Mount Laurel. And so he sent a bunch of his brothers in blue, including the police dog Jersey, and they all came by and said hello and great bunch of cops. But Reagan was putting her hands in one of the officers' pockets trying to take his money. She's fleecing the cops. And then one of the cops paid her, and she went back and shook him down for more. And I said, listen, now you're really going to get us in trouble, all right? You can't be shaking down the cops, Reagan. This is not, you know, like, who are you? You're a direct descendant of the Corleone family? What's going on here? So anyway, I was very proud of her, though. I was very proud of her. Use the word extortion again, I'll break your legs. Very proud. She did a good job. All the kids did. Patrick and Claire did. They made the lemonade. They made the signs. And thank you for your generosity if you stopped by. It was a nice day. Our buddy David Gelman stopped by, as I mentioned earlier. And it was good to see him as well. So we'll talk more about the Trump stuff later in the show. And yes, yes, the greater Chris stopped by as well. The Grassi, Chris Grassi, he was on his way to bring Basil to his mom and dad for Sunday dinner, obviously. Because it's what you do when you're Italian. Just bring Basil. What are you going to do? Little Basil. But it occurred to me, with inflation, see, originally they put up a sign that said lemonade a dollar. And I know we discussed this on the show a couple weeks ago. What do you charge for a lemonade? I ripped that dollar sign down right away. I said, there's no way we are just giving people this for a buck. And certainly not in Reagan Zioli's world, that's for sure. No way. Here's a report from, this is from, what is this now, CBS News? CBS this morning, CBS 2 this morning. A lot of Americans, and some people walked by and did not want to buy lemonade. And I get that. It's the economy. I get it. I get it. But a lot of people are actually skipping meals, skipping legitimate meals.
And some Americans are skipping meals because food prices have gotten so high. Jane King is live at the NASDAQ with those stories. Jane, the high cost of food is forcing some people to go without.
That's right, Ron. In fact, 27% of Americans are skipping meals because of skyrocketing food costs. And then another 18% say they've considered applying for food stamps. Intuit Credit Karma found a fifth of respondents, about 21%, said they felt ashamed about their inability to afford groceries. And they also found many people are changing their food shopping habits. So many are shopping now at discount stores versus big name supermarkets. And about a quarter of respondents say they're just buying less healthy food and paying for something more, maybe not quite as healthy because it's what they can afford.
Yeah, well, you know what? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Not eat. You don't have to eat. Don't eat. It's fine. This is the problem, though. The economy is stupid. The economy outweighs insurrection, danger to democracy, all of it. Biden's approval now is at 37%. 37%. But you know who does love him, though? The illegal immigrants love him. They love him. Why wouldn't? Of course they do. They're allowed in.
What do you think of President Biden?
Biden? I love Biden.
Why do you love him?
Biden helped us.
Hey, guy points to all the illegal immigrants. He goes, why do I love him? Look around. Look around you right now. In fact, inflation and Democrat-mandated regulations have become a dagger for restaurants across the country. And it's terrible. It's very sad. I mean, it's very hard being owning a restaurant, owning a deli, anything like now at this point in time. But it's causing a lot of places to shut down in this economy. These are small businesses that operate by the edge of their teeth now. So if I can, we always try to go to local places. I tell you this all the time, as much as possible. But even chain restaurants are going under in this economy. Red Lobster just went belly up. So I mean, nobody's safe from this economy.
Higher prices for food and labor have forced some restaurants to declare bankruptcy or close locations, including Red Lobster, Applebee's, and California-based Rubio's.
20-hour minimum wage, it's been the dagger for California restaurants.
80% of Americans now consider fast food a luxury item, and they're looking for ways to save by choosing cheaper restaurants or eating at home.
If you look at the lower-end consumer, that's where you're seeing much more pressure.
Could you imagine considering fast food to be a luxury? Just think about that for a moment. Fast food's a luxury. The way I always think about fast food is it's a convenience when you're traveling. It's convenient on the road. For example, I mean, we go up to Tupper Lake, New York, where Bridget grew up, to go see her family in a couple weeks. We'll swing by McDonald's because I know it's going to be consistent. I know that it's going to be fast, and I know it's going to be easy to do. Road trips, but a luxury? And yeah, I guess so. I mean, for a lot of kids, they love Happy Meals and they love going to Chick-fil-A and all these other things, but it's getting so expensive that for a lot of families, yeah. Now, I mentioned this before, but you cannot tell me that if there's parents right now who are thinking to themselves, I'm really concerned about feeding my family going into this summer. I'm really concerned about this. But I'm more concerned about another January 6th? Huh? And, you know, the White House can spin this economy as much as they want. You can spin anything in life. But what you can't do is spin how I feel when I'm checking out at the grocery line. You can try. They wound up the White House fembot, Karine Jean-Pierre, wound her up. Said, hey, go ahead. Try to tell us how you are the gatekeeper of information.
Now, when I address the press from the White House podium, the only thing that stands between me and getting our message out to the American public is whether the people sitting in those chairs and the folks watching at home feel like they can trust me, feel like the information that I am providing is worthy for them, and that they can trust, obviously, that information.
Okay, nobody trusts you. Just for the record, no one trusts you. But you're going out there and you're spinning to everybody and you're pretending like you're telling them the truth. You're pretending these things. And that is the big story of the day, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria. VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. But when people are walking by lemonade stands that little kids are running for cancer, and they're just walking by because they have to cut costs. I get it. I understand. I'm not judging anybody. I understand. You know, we're blessed, we're fortunate in our house, but a lot of people suffering, struggling. And to them, the idea that another guy with horns on his head is going to storm the Capitol, that is not a concern that keeps them up at night. It's just not. It's not. And you know I'm right about that. All right, listen, Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, they are going to find good ways to save you money, serious money, because for a number of reasons, they're doing their renovation right now. Huge renovation extravaganza that's been in the works for years. You know, Judith Krupnik's father founded the dealership back in the 1960s, and it was time. Time for a renovation, and that's what they're doing at Cherry Hill Volvo. So you can maximize the savings with their renovation extravaganza, savings on top of their already aggressive financing and promotions. But wait, there's more. If you're a Costco member, you will also get an additional $1,000 off because you are a Costco member. $1,000 off a brand new, beautiful Volvo. You're going to love it. You're going to love driving it. You're going to love how safe it is. You're going to love how they take great care of you at Cherry Hill Volvo. We broadcast live every day from the Cherry Hill Volvo studios, and that matters a lot to me. In this age of cancel culture, they stand with us. They stand with us at Cherry Hill Volvo. So go see them today. Judith, Yosef, the entire team are ready to take great care of you. And with these incredible savings because of the renovation extravaganza sale, on top of the other savings, and on top of the $1,000 off for being a Costco member, you're going to be able to find the beautiful Volvo you've always dreamed about. So what are you waiting for? Just go to Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill today. They're the region's most accessible Volvo dealership, and they're the only Volvo dealership that stands with us at Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. So remember, choose the Volvo dealership that is our studio sponsor, Cherry Hill Volvo.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You're listening to the best of the Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Thomas McKenna is a student at Hillsdale College, which is very, very cool. One of my absolute favorites. He's also a contributor to National Review, and he was there for the protests. He watched it happen. Thomas, thank you for joining me here on Talk Radio 1210 in Philadelphia. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Absolutely. So your latest piece in National Review, protesters surround White House, call for Intifada revolution. So first of all, what brought you to witness it?
Well, we'd seen news reports that this was going to happen over the weekend. We saw that the White House put up extra fencing and fortified its security in anticipation of the protests. And what happened on Saturday afternoon is that thousands of pro-Palestinian protesters surrounded the White House. They made a 2-mile-long red line using a red banner around the White House in order to say that President Biden had allowed Israeli forces to cross that red line by entering Rafah. And so because of that, they called for an end to U.S. military aid to Israel and for a ceasefire in the war.
All right. Well, all those are political policy statements. I mean, people can certainly express their opinions, but it wasn't just that, right?
Well, there was certainly some rhetoric that a lot of people would deem to be fiery, and you know, many Jewish groups have called it anti-Semitic. For example, protesters were chanting "globalized intifada." An intifada is a call for the global killing of Jews. They also chanted, "There is only one solution: intifada revolution." And more than that, they also chanted, "From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free," which would require an end to the Jewish state, which is between the river and the sea. So that's some of what was happening at the protest.
And the protesters, as I read your piece, they encircled the White House dressed in red and created a 2-mile-long line representing the red line that they say Biden allowed Israeli forces to cross by entering Rafah last month. And then I see some of the pictures from your article, too, that there were, looks like, smoke bombs or something that they were using, possibly?
Yeah, protesters were setting off smoke bombs right there on Pennsylvania Avenue, right next to the White House. So just steps from the White House, there were all kinds of signs, and they were waving Palestinian flags, and there was even a huge poster showing Biden's face and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's face right there near the White House.
And how was this treated? I mean, this from the pictures, it looks a lot like an insurrection. Was it treated accordingly?
Well, there were no arrests made, but right there across from the White House in Lafayette Square, there was lots of vandalism of the statues that are right there, including the statue of Lafayette. They wrote things like "Free Palestine" on the statue, and we saw a video on Saturday either some kind of park ranger who was trying to protect the statue, and people were throwing things at him. Despite all of this, there were no arrests made.
So there was political speech, which obviously is protected under the First Amendment. You can like it or disagree with it, but there went beyond political speech into action, violence, and public vandalism, destruction of property. And you're saying to me there were no arrests?
That's right. Despite all of the vandalism that happened there, despite calls by some groups there for Hezbollah, Hezbollah kill another Zionist now. The most that law enforcement did there was they tried to use pepper spray on one protester and tried to arrest him, but the crowd nearby intervened, according to news reports and from what people saw there. And because of that, they weren't able to arrest him. So no arrests were made.
Well, you can't arrest somebody for saying river to the sea. You can't arrest people for saying those things. I mean, they're abhorrent. I don't agree with them, but it's still protected speech. But there were clearly people who were crossing the line from speech, and they were committing violent acts or acts of destruction of property. So why would those people not be arrested?
You know, that's anyone's guess why those people wouldn't be arrested. You're right that while there were people who were exercising their First Amendment rights and voicing their opinion, there was absolutely vandalism that went on. There was pushing of police officers that I saw. And in many cases, you know, around the country, depending on just where it happened and exactly what happens, that's the kind of thing that would get you arrested. But for reasons passing understanding, people who vandalized government property and monuments, those people were not arrested.
And you see, now what I saw on January 6th were a lot of people doing actions that you just described, only they got arrested. They, in many cases, were sent to solitary confinement, and in many cases, they're spending years in prison now. And yet the people that did all this over the weekend outside the White House on Pennsylvania Avenue, they weren't even arrested. So it seems to me like there possibly might be, I don't know, a double standard of justice here.
Well, I can only speak to what I saw on Saturday. What I will say is that, you know, it's pretty clear that that in other cases, protesters who would have gone to the extent of violence or vandalism would be arrested. And it is hard to understand why people who would, you know, spray paint a monument with law enforcement there watching would not be arrested.
Now, your colleague over at National Review, Charles C.W. Cook, he cited from your piece, and he noted that thousands of pro-Palestinian protesters surrounded the White House on Saturday afternoon, calling for President Joe Biden to end U.S. military aid to Israel. And per NBC, some of the protesters committed crimes. Multiple statues in Lafayette Square across from the White House were vandalized during the protest with spray paint graffiti and painted red handprints. Protesters attached signs reading slogans such as "Hands off Rafah," "Stop the genocide," and they put those on statues. Some graffitied slogans such as "Free Gaza," "Kill pigs," and "F pigs" on the statues. And only one person they attempted to arrest, but that was it, as you pointed out. So Charles C.W. Cook wrote a companion piece to yours, and he said the Lafayette Square crimes highlight a big problem for the Democrats. And I know, Thomas McKenna, since you were there and you took the pictures, and the pictures are now all over nationalreview.com, I'm sure you probably would agree with this. I mean, it seems to me, from my perspective, the Democrats have a crazy problem. They have a big-time crazy problem, and they want to try to keep making everything about Donald Trump and insurrection, but this is what you see happening. I didn't see any of this happen in New York City after Donald Trump was found guilty in the so-called hush money trial. I didn't see these kind of protests. I didn't see smoke bombs. I didn't see people graffitiing things, destroying statues. This is the kind of crazy you see on the left, period.
Well, Mr. Cook makes a good point in his article that there seems that he would say that there seems to be a double standard on questions of law and order. And I would make a similar point of analysis on why this is a big problem for Democrats electorally. You know, we saw in February in Michigan, Detroit suburbs, they voted uncommitted in the Democrat Michigan primary. We saw 100,000 voters go to the extent of going to the polling place just to vote against the President Joe Biden, not for any other candidate, but mm-hmm. just for President Joe Biden. And what we saw on Saturday was all of these thousands of protesters coming out, not just for some pro-Palestinian or anti-Israeli protest. What the protest was also was an anti-Biden protest. They were handing out stickers that said Genocide Joe. And so when it comes to just a basic point of objective political analysis, when you see 100,000 voters in Michigan who can vote in the Democrat primary, go out and vote against the president in a swing state that President Trump won back in 2016 by only 11,000 votes. I mean, that's a margin of victory there that could stay home, just simply stay home on election day and possibly swing a 15-point state away from President Joe Biden after he won it in 2020.
That's an excellent, excellent point. And I agree with you, by the way. I think that Michigan and also I think Minnesota is a big problem for Biden. I mean, they've always counted Minnesota as a blue state, Thomas, but it seems to me like Minnesota could be slipping for the very same reason.
Well, there's certainly a far left opposition to the president's current policy on Israel. And the longer that the war continues, the more and more likely it is that those voters who tend to be more progressive on issues but don't support the president's policy on Israel, that those voters become a hindrance on him come election day.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do. And I think, as I've said before, I think the Democrat Party has a crazy people problem, and they haven't locked down crazy yet, and it's June. I mean, at this point now, you should be pivoting to a general election. But whether it's Israel, whether it's the environment, whether it's the border, they're still trying to win over their crazy base. And that crazy base for them, the way I think about it is they'd rather make a point than see Biden win again. They'd rather show the strength of their coalition or their point to the Democrat Party of you got to be even more left, which is hard for guys like us to conceive, and lose. And this is why I think Joe Biden's problems are compounded by that fact, in addition to his low approval rating and questions about his mental acuity and his physical fitness, his age and everything else. And then you got the other problem, too, in Michigan. You combine what we just talked about with the auto workers in Michigan who don't like his policies on cars and automobiles. And you can very easily see how he loses that crucial swing state. And then, I mean, to be here in June and to have to deal with this and to still try to play both sides with this group of people, this group of voters, that is not where you want to be in a general election.
Well, as you just pointed out, you know, a crucial swing state like Michigan, that's 15 electoral college votes. Mm-hmm. And for President Biden to win that state, he's got to perform well in those urban areas. And that's including among Arab American communities that, you know, had 100,000 voters go out in February to the Democrat primary just to vote against President Biden. And, you know, I'll go back to my reporting that I did on Pennsylvania Avenue right there in front of the White House. Every single person I talked to either said that they were not voting for President Biden or they declined to answer. And as I mentioned earlier, when you have such a large portion of your progressive base who are so opposed to your policy on Israel that they may not vote for you in November, you know, that's a problem for anyone. And that's a problem that President Biden could see manifest come Election Day if the war continues.
That's such a great point, and I'm glad you talked to them about that. I want to throw a poll at you, Thomas. And Thomas is with me. He's a student at Hillsdale College, which, by the way, before I let you go, I do want to ask you about that. I want to ask you about your experience there because I'm a huge fan of Hillsdale College, Thomas McKenna. But latest Emerson National poll has Trump plus one in a head-to-head race with Biden in Michigan. But when you add Jill Stein, Alan West, Cornel West, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Trump's lead goes to plus six. So it really does back up what you're finding here. If it's a one-on-one competition, the crazies may come home to Biden, but if they have an alternative here, if they have a way to show their disdain and their unhappiness with a third-party candidate, he can't win.
Well, what we saw on Saturday was the clearest manifestation of protesters who would tend to vote for a Democrat candidate in the past, but are so unhappy with the president's policy on Israel that they may stay home. Some of them told me they're considering third-party candidates. So electorally, you know, from a basic standpoint of political analysis, President Biden does have an electoral problem on his hands with a large portion of his progressive base.
So how do you like Hillsdale College?
Oh, it's fantastic. I couldn't have asked for a better place to spend 4 years. I'm a rising junior, you know, whether it be in the journalism program with John Miller, who is a national correspondent at National Review, or whether it be in, you know, an English literature class where you're trying to better understand the human person and you know, the liberal arts as a whole. You know, Hillsdale, I think, is just a great place to be for a young person seeking truth, wisdom, goodness, and beauty. And, you know, I'm delighted to get to look forward to another 2 years back up there in August.
Well, my best of luck to you, and I'm sure we'll have you back on the show. It's great that you're writing for National Review, and I wish you all the best. Come back and see us again. Excellent job reporting, Thomas McKenna. Well done.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.